Is everybody else ready?
Do it.
Do it to it. All right. I'm going to do the countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right. Everybody ready? 1, 2, 3. Let's show rules!
Eagles! Showtime!
It's a Little Thing Tech Show, and that's fact. If you don't like the cats, you can get up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are linking bad. But the show is put it back to DLSGS.org. And the IC channel is a LinuxX.net. Found Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the calendar's just about to begin.
Alright, welcome to the Linux Tech Show, episode 371. Going strong,
Yowza.
Never wrong. You tell him, Link.
Yowza.
Who didn't even bother to show up last week.
No, yeah, didn't even bother to show up. Dude, you have no idea what my week was like last week. Holy moly.
And
almost as good as this week.
Almost what?
Almost as good as this week. No, I was on call last week, all week long. And horribly, horribly sick at the same time. It was, I was covering for the email administrator. So I just passed the end of my third week with doing this stuff. I covered a week for the email administrator, and then I was on call. And at the end of the week, I was on call and covering for the email administrator, and then I just got off on call this week, and just yesterday was done covering for the email admin. So I'm back to doing my own stuff, with the exception of, you know, some problems that we're having to work with some stuff, which, you know, made it hell day today. But it's been a really hugely long few weeks for me anyway. It's all Dan's fault. You know, usually Dan jumps on IRC in the morning, or jumps on AIM, and, you know, sends me a little quip or something and cheers me up, but he's just not there anymore because he doesn't care. No love.
I know.
No love at all.
Nope. Got my own issues.
I bug you, though, Link.
Yeah, you got a hold of me with some good redhead stuff and made me think for 30, 40 seconds. It was awesome.
Got it, though. Got it working.
That's great.
In case you didn't know, that was Dan the Man Fry, and also on the
hello everybody
on the show is Dave Sexy Yates.
Eight.
And joining us tonight, extra special guest Chris Wade from Think Penguin. How you doing?
Hi,
Chris. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Think Penguin, sir?
Okay. Think Penguin is about computers. We sell computers. That is systems with GNU Linux on them. We're selling them with Ubuntu at the moment. And our main focus is on free software. That is, even though we have Ubuntu shipping with Ubuntu, all of our hardware is not depending on non-free drivers or firmware, be it printers, accessories like USB Wi-Fi cards or Wi-Fi within the laptop, graphics, modem, or anything else within the laptop, desktop. Most of the systems out there right now that you would buy come with chipsets that will hold you back when you try to upgrade your system from one version to the next. And what happens is you'll find that certain things like power management don't work, battery life, or the driver won't work. And your Wi-Fi will stop working, or your printer will stop working, and you'll have to go out and buy a new printer. Or maybe the printer, you can get it to work, but it's going to take a lot of hacking. network because manufacturers stopped supporting it. And the open source or free software community can't support it because there's no source code to go along with it. So that's basically what we do is we support our product by saying we won't sell you hardware that is dependent on non-free drivers or firmware. That's basically what we're about.
Now, how difficult is it for you to acquire that said hardware that doesn't have... I mean, because particularly with notebooks and laptops and stuff, how difficult is it for you to acquire a system that you can sell with Linux
pre-installed? It's extremely difficult. There's a lot of parts that we have to do a lot of work in acquiring. Certain chipsets we can only get from certain sources. We have to import from Taiwan. Certain chipsets we have to import from the United Kingdom. For instance, there is only one of, if you take a USB chipset, for instance, there's only one chipset manufacturer that has even released specifications and/or source code for the firmware for 802.11n. So getting it for the laptops, the built-in Wi-Fi, is pretty easy. But getting it for USB is almost impossible. Every single 802.11 and USB Wi-Fi adapter on the market today uses proprietary firmware and or driver. So that, if you try to go from one version of Linux to another, you're going to have a problem. And or you will have a problem just getting it to work out of the box. It will not work. We actually sell the only 802.11n USB Wi-Fi adapter that, if you stick it in, will work out of the box.
So you must have really loved it. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you must have really loved it when Broadcom decided recently that to open source their drivers, right?
Yes. Yeah, I we haven't seen it happen yet, but yeah, definitely. But yeah, we have to import a lot of stuff from other countries, and it takes a while to get the hardware, the chipsets, and stock up on a lot of stuff because we don't have any suppliers in the U.S. To get some of the components, unfortunately.
You know,
you guys, go ahead, Dan.
Go ahead, Link.
Go right ahead, because I was going to start talking about this wonderful laptop that I have over here. But if you have any more questions, fire away, man.
What I was going to say is, I mean, just listening to you say you have to import a lot of this stuff, I'm looking at the prices for the stuff on your website, and it doesn't seem to be costing you, compared to, you know, other sellers, that much more or anything more to have it imported.
Well, the reason for that is mostly because the parts that we have to import are small. Like, for instance, it's mostly the Wi-Fi chipsets that we're importing. The laptops, most of the laptops, we're not actually importing the whole laptop. So the parts that we're importing are not significant, not costing us, you know, a ton of money more. And it sort of depends on the configuration and what you're actually going to do with it, you know. So no, the answer is no. It doesn't necessarily cost a lot more, or anything more. It's just you just have to make the decision to go free.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'll have to tell you. You know, looking at your website, you guys have some fairly competitive prices going on for, you know, for the systems that you offer. And it's not just laptops, right? You guys do all kinds of stuff. You do laptops and you do desktops, I see, and then you also have, other accessories and stuff like that that you've certified to be Linux friendly, right? Like audio and media players and
yeah,
that sort of thing.
We're actually getting additional hardware. We're still working on our product catalog, but we should have video cards, ATI video cards here at some point. Unfortunately, the video card market's a little bit of a challenge at the moment because ATI is not actually a fully supported ATI chipset, free chipset out there yet. But we will have one at some point here as soon as I can get my hands on a card that actually works.
Wouldn't it be great if ATI did the Broadcom thing?
They did. They opened up a lot of it, though. They opened up a lot. At least their APIs and whatnot are open now, I believe.
Yeah, they are. It's just a matter of time before we actually get our hands on a fully supported. It's not that it won't happen. It's just it's a work in progress still. The specifications are out there, so it's like 90%. So we're waiting on the 10%. And
no
actually.
Netflix yet?
Actually, the older cards are fully supported. It's the newer stuff that's not. So we could actually start selling something, but it wouldn't be the newest chipset. It wouldn't be the newest cards on the market.
Well, I'll tell you folks why. Other than the fact that, you know, these guys are new and I believe to be an up-and-coming Linux-viable laptop seller, one of the reasons why I really want to get them on here is that Think Penguin was kind enough to actually get me a review unit. And this is right before the Ohio Linux Fest. I got a hold of Chris, and Chris...
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Chris sent one right out to me to check out, and that gave me an opportunity to, you know, to bring it out and show the fellas at the Ohio Linux Fest too. So we all got to take a poke at it and look at it a little bit. And
I liked it.
I believe the one that you sent me, Chris, is the Penguin Air notebook computer. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And this is let me post a link on here on the IRC.
It's a sexy
folks really ought to
laptop.
Check this thing out because this is a good looking piece of equipment. In fact, I'm holding
nice.
It right now on my lap. Very very nice looking, sleek, very very light and ultra thin, which is something that I really appreciate. And the best part about the thinness of it is. It's not, you know, flimsy. You know, sometimes you pick up the really thin laptops and stuff, and they're very, very flimsy feeling or sometimes right. plasticky feeling kind of thing, like a Tonka toy feeling or Fisher-Price's
yep.
first laptop, that kind of thing. This is
yep.
not that way at all. This is really, really well-constructed, very, very slim and sleek and a very pretty piece of hardware. It, like I said, light and thin and like advertised, you know, they're talking on there, everything just works. Well, it does, you know, there's no pissing around with any funny drivers, the sound isn't flaky on it. I have one of my Acer Aspire laptops over here, which I love and I've used for 100 million years, but it still has a little flaky sound on it. You know, the sound is very, very low quality, or it's very low, period, right? The volume on it is low. And sometimes when you turn it on, the sound, like, skips on and off for a second. This doesn't do any of that, man. You turn it on, it comes on like it's supposed to. The sound works and sounds decent. The screen is bright and good quality, and You know, good-looking laptop, low-voltage CPU, so, it, you know, the batteries last for a long time. The whole schmeal, webcam, you name it, the whole kit and caboodle. And this one that I'm holding my hand right here is, according to the website, is $549, which, my friends, is probably...
Taint bad.
A darn good price for it, you know?
Yep.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, and it has more USB ports than a MacBook Air.
Very true, yes. Yes, very true. All kinds of good ports on here, including a card reader and, you know, all kinds of good stuff. So, I quite dig it. My hope beyond hope was that Chris was going to say, hey, you know, thanks for a great review. Go ahead and keep the laptop. I don't think that's going to happen, but it really is a nice laptop.
It never happens on laptops, Link.
Yeah, it never happens on laptops. I really did enjoy checking it out, though. And boy, I'm telling you guys, if you're looking for a laptop, you guys really should consider checking these guys out. And I would love... Chris, for you to tell us some about some of your other laptops that you have going on, too.
We have a number of different laptops to choose from. There's also... Give me a second. Let me bring up the site. But yeah, we have a range of different laptops, basically, from, you know, the inexpensive to, you know, the really, really nice, fancy ones.
But no netbooks. Where's your netbooks? Are you going to get any of
those? No, we don't carry any netbooks. The Penguin Air is the closest thing to a netbook that we carry, but it's definitely not a netbook. Okay. Let's see, the Penguin values the real, I'd say the real basic value, I'm sorry, what did I just say, Penguin Pro, no, I'm sorry, Penguin, yeah, value, that's our, well, as you guessed, it's the value notebook. But what I should mention about the Penguin value is it's actually a really pretty decent unit. It does actually use DDR3 RAM. So it's actually not a low-end unit, really. But there are a range of different processors you can get. So depending on what your needs are, it'll suit pretty much, you know, anybody. It'll take anything from a Celeron to a dual-core to a Duo 2.6 GHz processor. You can get various RAM. Once again, this system, you know, it has the Afros Wi-Fi chipset and all similar features that you would find in our other laptops with 3D accelerated graphics and a range of hard disk options, warranties, and... support. It's a little bit heavier of a unit. This one's 5.7 pounds, but it's about the same weight and dimensions as you would find if you went into a store and purchased a laptop for $500 off the shelf at a Staples or a Best Buy. Although it is a little bit higher end of a unit with the DDR3. Most of them you'd probably end up with DDR2. Another notebook that we sell is the next one up from that would be the Penguin Pearl, and that has the option of a Intel Core i3 or i5 processor. These are all DDR3. The only one that has DDR2 is actually the Penguin Value, and this will take either an i3, oh, I just i5. This also will take various, you know, DDR3 RAM chips. Same thing with this one. Now this one weighs a lot less. This is under 5 pounds. This is a the other. Let me also mention the screen size for the Penguin Pearl. That's all. Penguin Value. Sorry. The Penguin Value has a. Also very interesting. Now, that's got a 15.6 inch screen. Penguin Pearl has a 15.6 inch screen, except this one weighs under 5 pounds. So this is a much lighter unit. But it's also a much thinner unit. This is only 1.1 inches thick. This also has a 3D accelerated graphics on it. So, and Athros, Wi-Fi, and so forth. So this is also fully accelerated graphics. You have your full power management support. DVD-R, W drive, and so on. The Value also had the DVD-RW drive in it as well, actually. But that's the main difference between the Penguin Pearl and the Penguin Value is the weight size and the processor. Then there is the Penguin Ultimate. That's the last one I have to mention. So we have four systems at the moment, laptop systems available. The Penguin Ultimate has an i3 or i5 processor available for it. This one's also 1.1 inches thick, and this one has a 17.3 inches screen. That's the difference pretty much between the Penguin Ultimate and the Penguin Pearl. It also has the Athros Wi-Fi chipset, 3D accelerated graphics, power management, suspended RAM, so you've got great battery life, and so on. This one weighs a little bit more, 6.6 pounds. That's pretty much because you've got the larger screen. Pretty much all your laptops with 17.3 inch are going to weigh a lot more. That just comes with the territory. Okay. We also have some desktops. We've got two desktops. One's a Penguin Pro and one's the Penguin Wii. The Penguin Wii is for users who are looking pretty much to go out there and surf the web. It comes with 3D accelerated graphics, so you can watch videos on YouTube and things like that. It has an Intel Atom processor, audio, an Ethernet connection.
Looks to be about the same specifications as your average netbook.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's $399 at the moment. It's a little bit pricier. But actually, it's probably going to be coming down soon.
Cool.
Yeah, so if you hold off, probably within the next month, that price will probably drop. The Penguin Pro, that one's $699. That comes with an Intel... That comes with an Intel Core 2 2.8 GHz processor. It is compatible with a Core 2 quad processor as well, although we only sell it with an Intel Core 2 processor. And that is if you're looking for a more high-end system. And then there's various options, hard drive option sizes, Actually, we appear to only be selling with a 320 at the moment. It does come with options for the RAM, though. We probably could customize this, actually, if you wanted to, if you contacted us. But that also comes with the 3D accelerated graphics. And various expansion ports, unlike the Wii, the Penguin Wii, which is the little Atom desktop. It's kind of cool about some of our desktops is the keyboards. come with little Penguin. None of our keyboards have the Windows key on them. You're not paying any of the Microsoft tax. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but all the keyboards out there have a Windows key on them. And every time Microsoft gets a little tax money coming out. Well, our keyboards don't come with that tax. So it's not just the sticker going over it.
Some of the guys, Chris and IRC, are asking about if you can get an option for SSDs in the laptops.
Good question. We don't have that at the moment. If you contact us, we probably could.
It looked like there were some listed on the Ultimate in the drop-down box.
Yeah. We might be able to do it for the other ones as well. We probably could. If they contact us, we could do it. It might take us a little bit longer. There's nothing technically that should be preventing us from doing it. I'd have to take a look and see in terms of the pricing on it, but we should be able to do it.
And again, all these laptops are guaranteed to work with Linux.
Yes.
Right out of the box. Pre-installed, you have your own Linux install, which is a tweaked up Ubuntu, right?
Yeah, they come preloaded with Ubuntu. There was somebody who asked on the IRC that I probably should mention. We designed them to work with any operating system, even if you wanted to install something like GNU Sense. GNU Sense, am I saying that? I may be saying that wrong. Which is the free version of Ubuntu, and it will work. The reason we actually don't ship it, there's a few reasons, but one of them is that it doesn't come with it's not a recent enough version. It's not based on a recent enough version of the kernel. So it does not have the right drivers, basically, or new enough drivers for the hardware. Eventually, it will work with the hardware. When you get the laptop, it probably will not. I can pretty much guarantee it will not, actually. Some of the hardware, if you actually look on our website, the 802.11g Wi-Fi card, for instance, we do list it as compatible. 802.11n Wi-Fi card, you will notice if you look on our website, is not compatible yet. It will be eventually, but we do list certain versions that we have tested. But as I said, the hardware is based on free drivers, and the software has mainline kernel support for our hardware and or support for other free the mainline free software projects, whether that be Alista or another free software project. Whatever that main project is for that particular hardware type.
So, how long has Think Penguin been in business for selling computer equipment?
We've been in business about 2 years. The company is actually mainly focused on the ground in Portland, New Jersey, and New Orleans. So we haven't actually sold too much to the rest of the state. We actually have another business that repairs computers, and we focus on selling to non-technical computer users, not technical users. So actually, one of the things that's interesting is when we ship our systems, we actually ship with a few different programs that make it easier to use the computer. One of the things we ship with one program is called Penguin Assist, and it's a plugin, a browser plugin, that assists you in navigating websites that are not designed to work with Linux, GNU Linux, sorry. And what this plugin does is if you say you go to visit Adobe's website, or I'm sorry, not Adobe's website, but let's say you go to visit a website that uses Flash. Some websites will have the Flash embedded, and the Firefox will come up saying, you need to install Flash, would you like to install it? While other websites have code embedded in them that will detect the fact that you don't have Flash and redirect you to Adobe's website. If that happens, Adobe's website detects what operating system you have, and it pops up and asks you what you would like to install. RPM, Deb, and so on. Well, we don't want our users to have to answer these types of questions. It's a very technical question. So what we do is our plugin says, okay, we already know what version of Linux, GNU Linux, you're running. And we have it automatically pop up a message saying, we have it automatically call apt URL, which is apt URL is a program which basically automatically installs from the repository a package, and that package would be, in this case, Adobe Flash. So all a user then has to do is accept the fact that they're going to install non-free software, and then accept the fact that that package is going to install, which is a lot easier than having to select the package to download when they don't know what an RPM or Deb or app is even. So that's basically what we do. And it does a lot of other things. For instance, if you go to iTunes website, iTunes obviously doesn't work on the GNU Linux operating system. So what we do is we redirect it to the Ubuntu One music store. And that's the equivalent for our user base. And there's a lot of other websites similar to that where the website either doesn't work or it's not user-friendly, and we need a solution to that problem. And we basically go and we assist users in finding that solution that will work for them. We don't force it upon users though. There is a little button that goes green in the browser, and there's also the ability to completely disable that feature though. All you gotta do is go to cool Adobe. Obviously some users will not want this feature, so it is easy to remove.
So basically what you're saying then is you offer a complete solution for people to get started in Linux on their new laptop or desktop. For instance, I want to buy a Linux laptop for my mother or something like that. And she's a non-technical person. I could get her a laptop from you guys, and that would, along with this, the support that you guys offer, right, that would take care of her entire user experience.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely. And we also have something else that's interesting. There's also support that you can get with our laptops too. So not only do you have our software that we distribute with our laptops, but another thing to mention is our laptops are actually distributed pretty much with a generic copy of Ubuntu. Other than a few packages, it's pretty much just a generic Ubuntu install. So there's not really we're not doing anything funny with our systems to make it work with GNU Linux. We're designing the hardware around GNU Linux rather than designing or making the software work with Linux. That's the wrong way to do it, we feel. But going back to the support issue, we do have a toll-free number, so you can purchase support from us as well.
And then what kind of support level are we talking about? Are we talking about full and comprehensive support? Like if I bought a laptop from my mom and she had a Linux question, she could call you up and ask?
Yes.
That's an important thing because that's something that you just don't find everywhere else, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a toll-free support number. You can call it 24/7, and you can get support.
Now, do you guys do the support yourself, your company, or?
Well, that's basically what we are. We are a support focused company.
Yeah, you know what? You got to be lying to me because everybody says you can't sell Linux support. There's nobody that'll support it.
Well, that's not
that's
true.
A lie.
That's basically what we do. We've got three. That's actually our main focus is support. We've got Portland and New Jersey and New Orleans. We've actually got physical ground operations. That's actually what it. That's where we started out. It's not just Linux, GNU Linux that we support. We actually have another company, Airtech, where we support Mac and Windows. This is our main focus, but we don't sell Windows systems or Mac systems. We sell the Penguin systems, but we sell them to our Windows and Mac customers. If you follow.
So you sort of slip that in on them. You say, your Windows is broken all the time, but you know, if you had one of these over here, it would probably run really great.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Basically what we do.
Do you generate a lot of interest
that
way?
We offer them our Penguin systems. We give them the benefits. Not all of our customers, but, we offer them our Penguin systems. We let them know that we don't sell Windows systems. We do support them on whatever they want to run. These are the systems we sell, and whatever decisions they want to they make. But this basically covers the inside of our. We have a brochure that we hand out. We had about 10,000 brochures that we printed a couple months ago, and the entire inside of the brochure was all Pink Penguin. And the only part that was AirTech was actually a little flap on the inside that listed our prices for computer repair, which is really kind of funny, because the computer repair is actually is what people are calling about, but the Penguin systems are focused. So
how do you as a business model, right? How do you continuously generate revenue from your ThinkPenguin stuff when it runs Linux? Because, you know, we all know that Linux runs so much better than the other two major operating systems.
Well, we have some advantages. People are going to want to buy stuff that's designed for Linux. So who better to get it from than the company that produces the best hardware for Linux? We sell systems that are designed for Linux. Nobody else really does. You can go to Staples or a Best Buy, and you can buy hardware that works, you know, with Linux, you know, 90%. But if you really want a system that works with Linux 100%, you really gotta get something from us. There's not really too many options out there on the market. There is actually, I should mention, there is something else I probably should mention. We're actually trying to encourage others to follow in our footsteps. There is a website that we set up called designedforlinux.org. There's also another project called open-pc.com, and they are heading up a project that is putting out a free PC as well in Europe and the United States. So we're kind of leading the way, but there are some other competitors, so to speak, that will be coming out with systems here soon too. So
how about folks like System 76? What makes you guys different from them?
They're not putting out free PCs. Their systems come with NVIDIA graphics. They come with Intel Wi-Fi chipsets. None of those are free. So you're going to have problems. Maybe not today, but tomorrow. You're going to have problems with power management. You're going to have problems with upgrades and transitions. They're not as smooth as our systems.
So what you're saying is that you guys have a system that Richard Stallman himself would be proud of, right?
Yeah, I think so. But there is, I probably should mention one other thing. Unfortunately, there is the BIOS. We do not have a free BIOS. And Richard Stallman would
Long
probably
soon.
Not like that. Richard Stallman does have a netbook, and it does not rely on x86 architecture. And that is the only notebook he will use. I forget who makes it. It's out of China. You will not find anybody else using it.
Long Soon, it's a Chinese-made processor. Yes. I'm trying to remember the actual company. Lamote. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And it has completely open firmware for the BIOS, and it's a MIPS-based processor.
Yeah,
which means
it's
he ain't running Flash.
It's a netbook, not a full laptop. Either, also, I should... So it's not... It's kind of a different market too, so it's It's one of those things where if it was a full laptop, you know, it would actually would be something, you know, we would probably try to import and sell, actually. Maybe, or do something with. But at the moment, it's not something we can... It's not really, you know, it's one of those things, actually, that it's not really even an option for us. But...
So what about
Chris,
your... Go right ahead, Ben.
I'm going to say, I noticed on the website, Chris, that you sell printers, and also noticed you sell a media player. You sell the iRiver H10, and you tout Rockbox. Does it come pre-installed with Rockbox, or do you offer support for installing Rockbox on that, or what?
Wait, where is this?
On your website, under the shop, under audio and media players, you sell the iRiver H10 audio player.
You know what? It's a good question. We did. And that should have... I think we're actually out of this.
No, I'll scratch all that then.
Yeah, I think we are actually out of this, and this was supposed to be removed.
Look at that, Dave Yates.
And I don't know
why. Well, that's cool. You sold it at one time.
For him. Oh, man.
Yeah, I think that was supposed to be removed. You know what? I think I did. I think that was removed, and it somehow ended up back on the site.
Now,
leave it to
your,
Dave.
Speaking of your website, I do have to say something about that.
Yeah.
That really impressed me and caught my eye about your website. Is I go over there, and I look under... software, and you have a fantastic, like, easy to browse catalog of software that can be pulled down for the systems. And I mean, what I find interesting about it is what you have listed here is almost like what almost every other distribution has been trying to do for the past 5 to 6 years in some kind of software center or another. I mean, it's easy to navigate. It gives you just enough information, a graphical screenshot of it. I thought that was a pretty nice thing to have. It must have taken you guys a lot of time to do that.
Yes. Yeah. And the reason we actually did that was because we had a concern for the free software issue. We did not want to have users we wanted to have non-free software available, but we didn't want to have users being uninformed about the issue. When a user installs non-free software, they should know about it. So when you actually click on a link to install non-free software, it pops up warning you, pops up a message saying that you're going to enable the it pops up saying something about that, non-free software. So that was one of the reasons. And it also, it's a larger catalog of software. The other reason was if you search for Adobe Photoshop or another program that you're familiar with, it will come up with various programs that are equivalent to it for GNU Linux. And we also link to it various applications. For instance, if you were to go to RealPlayer, RealPlayer will link to our software page for RealPlayer because of the way the RealPlayer package requires it's difficult to install from the RealPlayer website, so we redirect you to our software page.
facility, so it's a great job. And I was also going to say, with regards to your hardware.
Sure.
It's a nice... Do you have people who buy computers buy a lot of the extra hardware, too?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And you choose your hardware, I mean, obviously based upon there being open drivers for it, and being fully supported open hardware. Are there other criteria? I mean, is there stuff that you know that you could offer, but for some reason you can't? I mean, other than, you know, like open stuff that there's just no way that you can offer?
I'm not quite sure if I follow you.
Let me rephrase that. Is there like a certain type of criteria other than it being open that limits you from offering other hardware and stuff like that off of your site? Like, for instance, like storage devices. I mean, you could probably have a ton of different devices on here.
Resources. Yeah, okay. we have limited resources, certainly. We would love to offer more, but we're still building up the business.
And speaking of the business, you say you're in Portland, New Jersey. Where in New Jersey are you?
Flemington. It's a little. We have a our Flemington, New Jersey. You wouldn't have heard of it. It's we're in Huntington
Island. We live near New Jersey.
I'm not too far from there right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Portland is Portland, Oregon, and New Orleans, which is Louisiana. That's our other area that we service.
So you got country covered there.
Yeah, definitely. One of the guys in the IRC wants to know if you offer your Penguin Assist stuff as a download.
Yeah, it's a good question. Yeah, it's it can be downloaded. Hold on a second, let me just see if it's...
Is that Lord D's question?
Yes.
Yeah, give me
a minute.
I
want to make sure I get that in so he doesn't hit it. It doesn't explode.
That's pretty cool, the idea of that assist there. That is a great little program. You guys got a lot of stuff you're offering there. What was that website that you were talking about? Designed for Linux or Designed?
Yeah, it's designedforlinux.org. And it's actually still a work in progress because there's not much on it right now. There's actually nothing on it really. We're coming out with a little video, working with another individual on it, and we're going to come out with a little video that explains free software, what it is. It's probably going to be about 30 or 40 seconds, and why you should care about it and how it affects your experience on GNU Linux.
Can you drop that? Is there a website there right now? That design
yeah,
for there Linux.
Yeah, there is a website. It is up. It's a wiki basically, and you'll actually be able to add hardware to it.
Can you put that URL in the IRC? Because I must be misspelling
yeah, sure.
it or something.
Link,
you should be on top of this. Come on, man.
I'm looking, man. I'm looking.
You're not looking hard enough. Well. And you should have passed that air. What is that called? Darn it! I can't remember the name of it. I don't want to say the air book because that's not it.
The Penguin Air.
Penguin Air. You should be passing that around to the rest of us.
Yeah.
Hey man, it's sitting right over here. I gotta send it back, but you know, you're welcome to stop over and see it. It's only a 7-hour drive for you, right? Something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Okay, so that is, it's for those people who are interested and are not on the IRC, it is designed for Linux, and there's a dash between the each word, so it's a design dash for dash.
Oh, yeah, Linux. I probably mentioned yeah. that.
Because I was looking at designed for Linux, and I'm like, nothing's coming up. Nobody even seems to have that URL, that domain. But there you go. That's sweet.
And there's I also mentioned the other website here that people might be interested in. I don't know if you guys have any people in Europe, but the OpenPC project is also another one. They're a good one, too, also, if you got any European listeners. They'll actually also have computers in the U.S. here, too. We're helping them get off the ground.
That's cool.
Yeah.
The OpenPC? That looks pretty cool.
Yeah, OpenPC. They're supposed to actually have something up sooner, but they're taking time. They're taking their time.
So Chris, that the Open Assist stuff, is that open or closed source?
What's that?
Is that open or closed source?
It's open. Free. Free software. We're all about free software.
Nice. All right. That's what we like to hear.
Likey.
Yeah, I don't think there's actually a GPL. I don't think I actually have gotten around to adding the GPL license to the code, but it is.
Oh, you're on public record now, buddy.
Yes, you guys can. You guys can hold me to it.
All right. Yeah, that's a mighty fine idea there with that, you know, redirecting proprietary things to Linux-friendly things.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it takes a little bit of work to maintain the list, but,
can you tell us what's coming down the pipe? I mean, what, you have anything planned as far as more peripherals or expanding the catalog?
Yeah, we should have some audio, some new audio players, and some video cards. Probably going to be the things that we should be adding. The USB 802.11n Wi-Fi card is the latest thing that we've added here recently. We had 802.11g, the 802.11n now is what we just recently added.
Cool. Are you going to get any netbooks like with the N550? I think that's the new dual-core netbook chip, I think it is.
I don't think so. Okay. And the main reason why is because there's already a lot in the market, a lot of netbooks on the market. And it's hard to make anything off it.
Well, but there's not that many that ship Linux on it anymore, much to my chagrin. I mean, that's the way the netbooks all started out, but
yeah. The problem is it's a financial problem, and if we were to try to do it, I'd have to figure out how to make it financially sound. And one of the things that we do is in order to make stuff work financially is it doesn't work netbooks, unfortunately.
Yeah.
There's not really much to go along with netbooks that will make it that will make them a financially sound investment so that we can end up we'd end up losing money on them is the problem.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
All right, Chris. Well, listen, we're about to hit the next segment of our show.
Okay.
And I want to thank you profusely for coming on the show and sharing with us and getting me this fantastic laptop to check out and to show everybody at the Ohio Linux Fest. And I'm sincerely hoping that the debt generated a little business for you, or perhaps this will, you know, on the show. I think everybody ought to go head right over to your website and check it out. It's at thinkpenguin.com. And some really great Linux running stuff over there. And, you know, I fully think that it's about time that we as the Linux community start putting our money where our mouth is.
And, yeah, absolutely.
You know, by golly, it's time to, you know, buy from somebody who has a product that that is suited for us.
You don't demand it
having to do the Microsoft hack.
See, one of the problems I feel is that there's been nobody in the market who has put out a product and made people aware that they were doing it, for one, and the users haven't demanded it. So if people don't demand it, your people selling aren't going to do it. But nobody's been selling it, so users really haven't had much of an opportunity to demand it.
Yeah.
So hopefully, us making people aware of it will help create demand. We'll see what kind of response.
Well, not only that, but, you know, how nice is it that, and I just recently got a new, unfortunately, before I found you guys, I recently got a new laptop. You know, I spent $500 on a Dell, and of course, it came with Windows something or other. I never booted into Windows, but I know I had Windows something or other on it when I bought it. And my real concern was, when I got this laptop, is not really one of, can I get Linux working on it, because, you know, everybody has a return policy where, like, if something's really wonky, you can just kind of take it back and tell them it's busted, right? But my concern was of time. At the time, I was really hurting for a new system because of my old one just about caught on fire. And I wanted to, I had a finite couple of hours that I could spend on getting another system up and running, and it would have been so nice if there was, especially if you had, like, a retail a location, someplace that you can go to be sure that the system that you bought would run Linux when you brought it home. You know, there's
we don't have any retail
hunting around on the internet or anything. You already know it works.
Yeah, but we do. We do have systems that absolutely work because, like I said, all the chipsets are based on free drivers and firmware and have mainline kernel support I want to say the whatever drivers that do support are in the main driver packages, free software packages for that type of hardware.
So I just think that's great. I think that's a great way. You know, long ago when I first started doing Linux, it was a fun adventure for me at the time to go through, you know, the different pieces of hardware and try and get them working and play with grabbing a driver and compiling it and getting it working in the kernel and all kinds of stuff like that. And that was pretty neat and interesting at the time. But at this point in time...
Don't have time.
At this point in time, like, it's a little old hat for me, and I'm more interested in getting my stuff done than I want to get done and not having to play with wondering if, you know, my sound card is going to work on the new computer I just bought and stuff like that. It's really nice to be able to have some place like you guys where you could go and you say, like, I want a good laptop with, you know, this sort of specifications, and you just know when you get it that it's going to run, you know, the operating system that you like without having to tinker with it forever and ever.
Yep, absolutely.
But anyway, like I said, Chris, we're going to transition into the next segment of our show. I want to thank you again for coming on here and for letting us check out one of your wonderful laptops, and I hope that you'll consider letting us get a hold of you and talk to you again and maybe check out some more of your stuff. And you're sure. Welcome to stay on the show and participate in the rest of the stuff that we talk about. But pretty quick, I think Dan's going to hook us up with our intermission song, and we're going to okay. see what happens after that.
I just mention one last thing. I sure. added the Penguin Assist thing to our if you go to the support on our website, you can download that for anybody who's interested. Okay.
Awesome.
And
that's
I'll
service right
probably
there.
Head to the IRC, back to the IRC, and answer any questions that anybody has to.
Fantastic.
So I haven't really been able to during the show, but now if anybody has any questions, I will answer them. Okay. So,
all right. Well again, you know, we really
you
thank you very much.
Thanks.
Great having you on the show.
Okay. It was nice talking with you guys.
Really appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. So we got a...
There you have it. Think Penguin. Go there
that's
and buy
right.
a laptop.
Buy two of them.
Now. Yeah, buy three. Get, you know, one for you, one for me, and one for someone else who needs one.
I need one.
You know, I like...
Give
I like.
One.
I really like their philosophy of selling a completely open hardware computer, friendly computer. That is great.
That's a great idea, man.
It is.
Like I said, I love the idea of getting a laptop that you know everything is going to work on.
Correct.
You know, it's not like you got this great laptop and everything is awesome, but you don't have any freaking sound or something like that. You know, and we've all been there, right?
Yep. Yep.
It seems like they really work hard at that, too. I mean, it's not just something they've...
Sure, you gotta put a lot of research into that kind of crap, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Well, it's taking all the research that we would normally do when we're sitting there going through HP and Lenovo and all the different lists to find a laptop or desktop that has the exact components that we want, or maybe even building our own desktop. They're taking all that work away from us and basically giving us a system that will work with pretty much any Linux, Ubuntu, Fedora, whatever, you know. Just like this Terra HD that I got from VA Reason here. I know it's competition, but...
Are we playing the intermission song, or are we going to go off and listen to Joel's review? How dare you, Joel, trying to cut us off.
We can listen to his review afterwards.
All right. Yeah. Well, because it was... this is going to be a little longer than usual intermission song, so just be aware of it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Dan's playing Doba again.
No, I'm not playing Doba. This is the...
Wouldn't you like to know?
No, this
Wouldn't
is
you
the
like
band...
To know?
This is the band that Klaatu did the production for. Fat Chance Lester. And the album is Fantastic Alternate Universe. This song is song number 4 off of it called Utopioid. And I thought it, you know, a lot of people think it's really good. I think it's pretty darn good. I hope that you'll enjoy
it.
It
is good.
It is. Dave Yates, you were supposed to make mention of something here, in case I did.
Yeah, I was saying it was good. I listened to everyone that you could download, and I'm looking forward to the rest. They are good. I like them.
Yeah, so, well, further ado, here it is. We should post the URL to it. What is the URL to it? Do you know, Dave?
I think I still have it up.
Post it in the IRC while I play this. Without further ado,
you know,
here
Dave
it is.
Still has it up. Dave's the one that has the 127 tabs open in his Firefox or something like that, right?
Yeah.
I got really. It right. Here it is.
There you go.
Booyah.
There you go.
I thought I had it on a second.
Go ahead, play that music, there. then you can post it.
All right, here we go. Without further ado, Utopioid.
Now, I know that you all think that I do drugs, but I don't. Actually, I don't do drugs.
Thank you.
Alrighty. I do believe that is that. Where'd everybody go?
I'm still here.
Alright.
I'm here.
I'm still here.
Sweet.
Oh.
Excuse me.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
10 minutes left.
Yeah. So anyway, Joel, you were saying you did a review of another laptop.
I'm working on it. I've got ZA Reason Terra HD.
Working on another review. All right.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have the Gear Diary review ready, hopefully sometime early next week. I actually been playing with it for a good while. I upgraded it to Maverick, and pretty good laptop so far. And I have to say that the SSD in it's only the value SSD, it's a 40 gig value SSD that they have in this one. And let me tell you, even that made a huge difference in the boot speeds of this thing. I shut it down and it's instant. Like, 2 seconds after I shut it down, if that, it's off.
This is the best, and isn't it?
Oh man, it's awesome. And then I turn it on, it's less than 10 seconds and it's up.
My one myth front end, it boots literally in 4 seconds.
Yeah.
And I'm up and logged in and connected to the back end.
Yeah. You know what? I really was impressed with that too. I checked out the Ubuntu 10.10 going on there, some USB media, and boy, it does boot pretty fast. I'm really digging that. It's pretty cool. I can't wait until it. This sounds horrible, but I can't wait until the new Min 10 comes out with that. It's gonna be killer. It's good stuff, though. Did you guys look at the new the netbook interface that they have for it?
I don't
Unity?
Like it.
That's what it is, Unity.
Yeah, I don't like it as much as the old one.
You don't like it? Well, we don't want to talk to you then. I thought it was pretty good.
Well, no, it might be okay. Well, no. Well, the a reason I say
man,
I don't like it. Well, let me preface that. Let me tell you why I don't like it. Where I'm using it, I'm actually using it on my NeuroSlink. And the old one was really easy to see from a distance. This new one is definitely not as easy to read from a distance. So it's not really...
It's not made for reading from a distance, though. It's for a netbook. It's a screen that you sit in front of you.
I know, but this is what...
Okay.
And this is probably why Joe is probably going to look at switching the default software that he runs to Debian. So, because the old launcher worked really well, both up close and from a distance. So, this one doesn't work so well for that.
Man,
would switch back to that.
You're
what?
Just a downer, Joel. You know that, man?
if you're looking at it on a netbook sitting in front of you, do you like it then?
Not really, to be honest. I did try it. I did try it on
okay.
my netbook, and I much preferred just the full Ubuntu desktop. So.
Well, to be honest with you, I prefer a regular desktop myself on my netbook. That's just my personal preference. I like to have the whole desktop. But for what it is that they're doing, you know what I mean? Like a specifically a netbook interface, and my idea of that is probably what they're going for, which is just to make the normal internet-based utilities easily available to you. That they're really going in a good direction with that. You know, I can see where a lot of people might find that very, very useful. You know, you and I, hardcore computer users, might think a little bit differently. You know, we want access to some different utilities and stuff. But for a user who's using a netbook really as a netbook and not a notebook,
Right.
That's probably they probably are, you know, doing the right thing there. I thought it was
right.
You know, a pretty good idea. I'm still disappointed in the whole purple scheme thing they have going on. I'm not really happy with that. I wish that, you
it's
know,
not even
I almost wish
anymore.
They would go back to brown. Yeah, I wish they would go back
it's
to brown.
Aubergine.
You know what I mean?
No, it's not pink in anything. They've gone from aubergine to pink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That I don't like.
At least it's not brown, that's all I got to say.
The interface is pretty good.
Yeah.
I would rather have the brown, you know, at this point in time.
Really?
I forget what I was listening to, but they were talking about that the other day, that the orange and the purple are the exact opposites on the color wheel.
Yeah.
And so, for design wise, it works or something like that. I don't know, but that's what they're saying.
Yeah, they say whatever they want, man, and they can think it works all they want, but it's ugly.
There's something different, man. Now, as far as the netbook, now just a little bit more on the netbook launcher before I drop it, though. It may just be that I just need to find the tweaks that I need to make it more usable for what I use it for, which is probably that I just haven't had the time to actually sit down and spend trying to find where I need to make a change so I can make the bar on the left-hand side bigger, you know, and the icons themselves bigger. I mean, it should work either way.
Dude, you know, hit Pearl Vision or something. They're pretty big, dude.
Yeah. But not when I'm running it on a bigger screen, like when I'm running it on a 19-inch LCD or maybe even a 30-inch TV, you know. So, I don't know. I'm just picking nits. You know, it's not that bad. It's pretty good, but
it's pretty good. You know, like I said, for someone who's using their netbook as a netbook, I think that's probably a really good interface, or at least, you know, better than a lot
right.
of the other ones that I've seen.
Right.
I personally, as a, you know, I'm more of a power user, I use my netbook not really as a netbook, but as an ultra small notebook.
Me
so
too.
I personally prefer having the full GNOME desktop.
Yep.
But, you know, that's a personal preference thing.
Well,
if you're looking for a netbook interface, I suggest you know, check that out. And the boot time is awesome.
Yep.
That's great. It's fastest I've seen since Fedora 13 came out. That had a really good boot time on it.
Yep. But, you know, overall, I have been extremely pleased with the Maverick release on several of my laptops and computers that I've been running. I've done update manager-d commands to upgrade it from one to the next. No problems whatsoever. I've done clean installs. I really am not a huge fan of the new installer. But it does its job for me. You know, it's a good release. I mean, everything works out of the box on both the Terra HD I'm reviewing and the my old standby, the 1000 HE, Asus 1000 HE, so netbook. And then the T60 runs it like a bat out of hell. So, plus they fixed the Intel drivers on my desktop at work, so I can finally have two monitors again. So,
yay!
Works great for me. I love it. I love having two monitors back. The one thing I haven't figured out though is when you're running two monitors, is there a way to get the password box to pop up on the same screen all the time?
You know,
it seems to jump around.
Yeah, it does.
Seems to jump around.
I can't seem to figure that out either. But I will have to say, when you mentioned dual monitors, I have
right.
dual monitors at work, and I tried this out at work, and it's a good thing you brought this up, because what I noticed was that this was the first distribution, the first release that I have tried on that particular system, that I
mm-hmm.
didn't have to jump through any hoops whatsoever to get the dual
monitors
working.
Wow.
Like, all I did was go in and, you know, you go to, you was it like applications and you pick the monitor or the you know
preferences I think
preferences and you pick monitor and I clicked there was a button on there to not have them display the same information and I unchecked that and they both popped right up and I drugged them around so that the correct sides were in the correct places and I hit apply and pow it was up and running. You know,
what chipset are you running, Link?
And monitors.
Pardon?
What chipset are you running?
I think it's, I'm pretty sure it's the NVIDIA chipset.
Oh, really? Okay, because
this is my work machine I'm talking about.
Yeah, I have the same type of thing at work. I got a laptop that when I dock it, I got two monitors hooked up there to it, but when I undock it, like, the monitor itself still thinks that the screen size is, you know, as large as my two monitors combined. But then,
no, see, I don't have that problem.
It only displays in the confines of the laptop monitor itself. But as soon as I dock it back up, the whole rest of the screen goes back to the way it was. But I got to check that out on the one that I'm running at work. So I got to see if doing an upgrade will make that better.
I checked this out. My laptop at work is a D630, I think.
Yeah.
Dell D630s. With the dock and the two monitors. And I was really impressed, you know, because I do remember having to fiddle a little bit the last few times I've done this to get both of those monitors working the way I wanted to. And this one was just a piece of cake, man. You know, I unclicked the sync on there and I drug the one monitor over to the right side and hit apply and pow, it just came right up and worked and there was no pissing around with anything at all. And that really impressed me.
I like it.
So there's
I'm gonna have to definitely upgrade it then soon and see what happens.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. Who upgraded to 10.10?
I have.
I did my wife's netbook.
I have weeks ago.
I have.
Yeah, I upgraded in tail end of the beta in right near the beginning of the release candidates. So I already had it on day one, so... Although I downloaded the ISOs just like everybody else, too.
I actually got to fumble some hard drives around here, and then I'm going to install it fresh.
I have not looked at the Kubuntu release yet, although I'm not a huge KDE fan. But... I just updated my link right now. I had some patches. There's some SSL patches out there right now. So...
Bow, bow, bow.
Yeah.
Damn, it's quitting time.
It is. You'll have to save my review
goodness.
For next week, huh?
Hey, by the way, I started reading Stephen Lake's book, The Oort Perimeter.
Yes.
I'm really digging it. I'm really digging
it's
it.
Good
and
book.
I'm halfway through it already, so I'm really excited about it.
I got Destiny's Mission. I haven't started it yet though. But I'm looking forward to it. Good stuff. I'm glad you tried it out, Dan. I'm glad to hear you're liking it.
Yes, I'm really digging it.
This past week, I just want to get the author's name correctly, Link hooked me up with Glitch, The Hidden Impact of Faulty Software from Jeff Papaus, and without going into further details right at the moment, it came at the most opportune and karmic time.
Yeah.
After a hellish week of glitches. I read the book, and what I have to say about it is it was a really good book. Now, the book Glitch, The Hidden Impact of Faulty Software, is written more towards business types, managerial type people, and the focus is on IT compliance and creating an IT compliant environment, why it's necessary. And He does a lot of case studies of different impacts, glitches, how they impact different segments of the society, the general population, medical, governmental, and educational, which he covers a lot of the bases there, which is pretty interesting reading there. If you are a developer and you are looking to move up into a lead position, managerial type positions and stuff like that in project management, this is probably a very valuable book for you if you are more on the developmental side. I'm not going to say this book wouldn't benefit you. It obviously would. But if you're looking for something that's going to go into testing and talking about how to do software testing properly, this isn't the place that you would start looking. I'm not going to say that this book wouldn't hold interest to you. Of course, it gives you food for thought. But it's very well written. It gets right to the point when you're reading through it. He says, you know, presents the chapter topic, and he says, this is what we're going to cover. He covers it. He presents points that you should consider if this is your area of business or what you're going, you know, looking to target. And he gives some ideas for where to start and how to begin your IT compliance plan. And then at the end of the book, there's a reprint of a New York Times article that he had talked about in the medical section about the horrific impact that a glitch had in the the radiation machines for treating cancer patients, and you know, just the real big screw-ups that happened there. And it wasn't just like the mistakes made were on the part of the technicians using the machine, but it was actual software glitches in these machines that were in the code caused these horrific things to happen. So it's very, that part is very shocking, eye-opening, and makes you think twice before you commit any code out into the population. Had I had this book 2 weeks earlier, it would have probably saved me a lot of headaches and hassles the past 3 weeks. Shut up, Link. I want to hear it.
That wasn't me, but I'll laugh at you now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's,
hey,
it's
we're all there. We're all there,
yeah,
man.
You know, everybody makes mistakes, but I, you know, it's interesting when you read a book like this that the impact, depending on your population and the impact that your mistakes can have, especially if you're dealing with the technology industry. I mean, you know, not to have a God complex about it, but, you know, you hear time and again, and for very good reason, when people, you talk about being in the IT field or in software engineering or anything like that, it's like a black art to most people. They have no idea what you do. It might as well just be utter magic. You might as well just say you point your magic wand and things come out of that box that glows in front of them.
If you start to explain some of it to some people, all they hear is, you know, the Charlie Brown teacher thing going on in the background.
Yeah.
They ain't dead the truth.
Dan, you gonna package that book up and send it over to the Dig home office?
Yeah.
It's sitting in the bookshelf at work now. Hopefully other people that I work with will read it.
No, testing is paramount, you know what I mean? And that's a good case to show that they didn't do enough testing and whatnot. I've been on projects where they do not require testing and you just live with nightmare, you know, crisis,
yeah,
day in and day
testing
out.
Testing on non-production systems, right?
Yeah.
Let's quantify that. You do
right.
not test on a production system, people.
Correct. Yeah.
As many times as I try and tell them not to, they do.
I mean, the code that I write today, there's usually about 2 to 3 times more test code written to verify that everything is working, you know, the way that I expect it to and the way that the requirements expect it to. You know, I am fairly certain that every time I deploy something out there, I'm not going to break something.
That is not
stressed enough.
No. And you got to test with the outliers too. You don't just put just a little bit of data in and test with that, and if it works for that, then hey, you're good. No. You need to test with that big chunk of data. You know, you need to get the most amount of data you possibly can have and feed it to that application and see what happens. Check your performance.
Well tools really help you out too. I mean, I use something called Emma, which you know, for Java code and JUnit tests and whatnot, it will do a full code coverage, you know, for your entire application and tell you what you're actually hitting or missing. You know, it still doesn't check that the data is right, but at least it's verifying that you're executing tests over these different chunks of code or these methods or, you know, these inline blocks, that type of stuff.
Right.
And it just runs as a part of my build process. As soon as I kick off a build, it automatically runs all my unit tests for me. So, and gives me a nice little report saying how much of the code is being covered, how many blocks passed, failed, etc., you know.
Yep.
Well, gentlemen, guess we better wrap it up then, eh?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Yep.
Finally. Next week. What? Did I hear you say finally?
I said finite.
Oh, I thought you said finally, Dave Yates.
He's ready to get rid of you, man.
Now, next week we're supposed to have Stephen J. Von Nichols on.
We are.
Sweet.
Does he know it's 8:30 at night, not 10:30 in the morning?
I'm going to send him that email on Monday, and I hope that... I hope that's met with very little resistance.
I hope so, too. I look forward to speaking with him.
You know, we haven't talked to him in a long time. It'd be nice to catch up with him and see what he's doing.
Yeah. It will be. It will be. As always, thank you, Mr. Yates, for your presence and a lot of Linux links. Even though you fret and fuss and... fastidiate over whether we will like listening to what you have to say or not, it always proves true.
Apologies accepted.
True. Mr. Sorry. Man Fry.
Yo.
I really appreciate all the work that you do on Myth TV Cast, you and Pat. Good stuff.
Thank you. And, we gotta get one out. We've been kinda slacking here lately.
Disgusting.
Yes,
What I found interesting about MythCast TV is it sounds like it would be such... It almost sounds like it could be a niche topic, that there wouldn't be as much to talk about, but you guys really do a great job. And there is a lot that you have to cover and do cover.
It is very niche, and I mean, the types of things that I run into, I would never expect to run into on just running a desktop system or a netbook or laptop or anything like that. I got some stuff lined up coming up, you know, shortly, where I'm going to talk about what happens when you have, you know, multiple sound cards and multiple, you know, capture cards in your machine, and the system itself wants to reorganize them every time it reboots for some reason. So, you know, I mean, there's things like that that you wouldn't see happening on a regular desktop system.
Verily. And you, Mr. Joel? With your life in Ohio, I get my lifetime dish of Ohio once a year, but you seem to want to foister it upon everybody on a regular basis. Well, good for you.
Yeah, well.
I appreciate it, your reviews and Link with...
It's been boring.
What do you do, Link? That little website called...
I don't do
called,
nothing.
Free Linux
Ubuntu
Computer?
Don't do nothing.
Yeah, Free Linux Box.
Free Linux Box.
LinuxBox.org. LinuxPlanet.org. TLLTS.org. What else?
Mighty fine.
Yeah, who did I miss? I didn't miss any. I got everybody that's on the
Man
show.
Man Fry.
I already said Man Fry. Weren't you listening?
I know. I was listening.
Right.
And we
like
love
to
you
say
too,
it.
Dan.
He just wants a little piece of that Man Fry.
Man Fries.
He wants you
man
to come over.
A side of gravy.
He wants you to come over and smoke some gravy for him.
We love Dan. Dan is our digital DJ.
Digital DJ. Dan.
Which Dan are you talking about?
You, Dan. You.
Ugh.
Which you
I'm a digital fat ass right now, I'll tell you what.
Digital fat ass. So how many bites
Dan,
are
Dan
your
Dan is
ass?
The world's best entertainment at a convention. That's what Dan is
good at. That's, sure not, that's not something to be proud of. Shut up. Jerk.
We love you, Dan.
So we look right. forward to that, Dan. Come on, man.
Well, it ain't going to be happening anymore, all right?
Uh-huh.
Now, I know right. I might have said that once or twice in the past. This time I mean it.
That record is broken, buddy. Long time ago.
All right.
All right, so I'm going to... That's it. That's it for tonight.
All right.
Finally. Yeah, finally. All right. Have a good night.
Last
night, all.
Good night, everybody.
Night, night. Good night.
Oh, you know what? Just so you guys know, what? I've been working on an audio promo for the show.
Great.
I wrote a script,
I keep
and that's as far as I got.
That's farther than I've got. I've given it two or three thoughts and just never culminated in anything yet. So
I actually wrote everything down, and I'm going to do it this weekend, I think. All right.
Cool.
That's right, Dave.
Fantastic.
And I hope that you'll play it on your show.
I will.
Sweet Zazzy. And Ultra Gassy. Here we go. Play it as hell.
Can we talk about the new search of computers?
Can we talk about...
Wait a second. I know I've been talking. You know what, Joel? Do you want me to play your review? Play us out with your review? Joel?
Joel?
They got him.
Joel's sleeping.
That can't
I think
be.
You should, do it. You should do it anyway and just surprise him.
All right.
Why not, right?
I'll give... I know he's still there. I don't know what he's doing. He's always there until, like...
Me?
Yeah, you, Joel.
Yeah. No, the other Joel.
Do you want us to play your review?
Yeah, I'm beating the child is what I'm doing.
And do you want us to play your review?
Sure.
All right, well, I'll play us out with your review.
All right. It's a long one.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. Let me
fast forward if you don't like it.
Yeah. No, nobody would fast forward over you, Joel. They love you, baby. Now go beat your kid while I play this review.
Sweet. All
right, this is gonna be Joel's review on the Fuse Plus, which I'm very interested in hearing about this. It's about 3 hours long, so. Afterwards, we'll play the entire Doba album. But here it is, Joel's review for the Fuse Plus. And then we'll see you next week. Have a good one.
Good. Good night, everybody.
Hello, I'm Joel McLaughlin with the Linux Link Tech Show. And here I bring to you today my review of the Sansa Fuse Plus personal media player from SanDisk. Alright, those of you who listen to the Linux Link Tech Show know how many of the hosts proclaim their love for the Sansa players, specifically the Clip Plus, and the Sansa Fuse as well. Well, I have today here a review of the brand new Fuse Plus from SanDisk. I was sent a 8GB version of the device, and I have to say, if you've seen the old one, you haven't seen nothing yet. They completely changed and revamped the design of the new Sansa Fuse Plus. Gone is the iPod aping mechanical click wheel, replaced by touch controls. And on the left-hand side, you have a rocker switch for your volume. And on the top, you have a power button. And then on the right-hand side, is the new micro USB port. They moved away from the proprietary cable that was on the fuse and replaced it with this micro USB. Much appreciated by SanDisk. And then on the bottom, of course, is the headphone jack right in the center of the bottom. The device itself kind of reminds me a little bit of the MyTouch 3G. It has like a chin like it does and a similar kind of shape, but it's much smaller, of course, than the phone. And then it's bigger than the old fuse. So first, the new interface is very easy to understand. It looks very nice. However, the one thing that really is a negative with this device is the touch controls. Now, it's not a negative when you're navigating the menus. It works fine for that. But there is no actual physical lock switch on the Fuse Plus. To lock the device, you press and hold on the play pause button, and that will lock the device. To unlock the device, you just slide up, and therein lies the problem. When the device is in my pocket, my body heat is enough to trigger the slide up as I slide it in and out of my pocket, and then it'll unlock, and it'll even unlock when it's just sitting in the pocket, and then skip to the next track, or whatever. So the touch controls really, really, really... I think they can probably fix some of that with a firmware update, and then they've already had one since I had the device, and it actually did improve some things. Like, for example, the manual says you can delete files after you listen to them, or you know, just delete files on the device altogether. And with the way the firmware was when I first got the device, couldn't do it. Firmware update changed that. So there are some other features that I'd like to cover first. There's an audio recording feature, and I'm going to go ahead and play a little clip of recording from the SansaFuse Plus right now. This is a recording of audio record of the SansaFuse Plus. One interesting little tidbit about this audio recording feature is that I have the headphones plugged in and I can monitor the recording through my headphones. Kind of interesting. Anyway, on with the rest of the review. Okay, that didn't sound so bad. Nice little feature to have. And the SansaFuse Plus has that integrated into it, unlike the iPod, where you actually have to go out and purchase a microphone to add to your device. Is it a necessary feature to have on a media player? No, but it's definitely appreciated. I have to say that. So makes it easy if you're into podcasting. So next up is the FM radio feature. The FM radio is actually not horrible, but not great. If you actually have anything you need to listen to. Now, I occasionally will listen to FM radio, but kind of not on a regular basis. But, you know, so it's nice to have it in there. But one other feature that you also have with the FM record radio is also the ability to record a FM radio broadcast. And I'll go ahead and play a little 5-second clip, 5-10-second clip of a recording now. Okay, that was the FM recording feature, and how your recording sounds will depend on how good your reception is. Definitely not a top feature on this device, but I did want to share it with you. Now on to the regular features of the device. First, of course, you have music, that it has video, podcasts, and an SD card menu, audio recording, and of course the FM radio. And then we already touched on the audio recording and FM radio functions, but the music function, it supports most of your codecs, including Ogg Vorbis, and also support the AAC, so it'll run your iTunes music if you're one of those freedom haters. As long as you don't have the DRM version of the iTunes music. So it should run that. Any MP3 I've downloaded from Amazon MP3 play just fine on it. My questions are with some of the support they have on the device. For example, on MP3s, the ID3 tags version 2.4 will not read properly by the device. So you want to make sure your tags are version 2.3. And then you should be able to see your artist and album information. I think those were the two that did not show up for me when I used version 2.4. So, fortunately, I think I had both tags and most of my regular music, so that worked fine. Also, if our Vorbis files, they all work just fine. All the ones I've tried have worked, with exception of the latest Severed Fifth release, Nightmare by Design. I tried the AUGs out of the box, and they did not work. And I think the reason is they have album art integrated on the tag information in the AUG file, and for some reason the Sansa Fuse Plus thinks they're unsupported with that information present. Now, I've tried editing those in EasyTag, which we'll probably talk about Severed Fifth at some point on this show, since they just released their new album this week. But I think Sandisk needs to work on this support. AUG from the beginning has had album art, so why it can't show the album art on AUG files, I have no idea. So I've tried it both with Severed Fifth and some others that I have, and I really couldn't get those to work. But regular podcasts, I have not had a problem with a lot of Linux links, Linux Link Tech Show, and I don't think there's been a Kernel Panics at this point for me to listen to, but all the AUGs that I've listened to have worked just fine on this so far as podcasting is concerned, as long as it does have the album art. So that is a kind of a little bit of a negative. But other than that, it's well-supported Linux, runs under mass storage mode. I hadn't tried MTP mode, but I did try syncing some music with a rhythm box. And really, it was just far easier to just do a drag and drop. So it supports M3U playlists, so if you can create a playlist. Probably the best thing to do is just drop it in the top of the music menu, or music folder, I should say, on the device, and then just have relative paths to the music, and that seems to do the trick. And what I found was also cool is that I could also add music to those playlists that I already had on the device, so, and that was on the device. So the only thing that I really can't find playlist supported wise is that you cannot create a brand new save list. You're going to have to just add to one of the ones that you already have on there. So the really nice thing that I found with the music feature was that if you had music on your SD card and you popped an SD card in, it actually did integrate in with the rest of the music, so you can select through the artist and everything, and it basically wouldn't care where it was. Now, you could still go and navigate to the SD card specifically to hit music that's just on the SD card, but you really don't need to. So podcasts also could not be added to a playlist offhand, although I have not tried adding it to one of the other on-the-go ones. That's something I'll have to try and comment on later in the show. But so far, what would I say about the Sansa Fuse Plus? I would say that if you're looking for an AUG player, and it's the only thing they have, then go for it. However, I think there are much better supported AUG players out there now. The Sansa Clip is probably a better one, because the Clip doesn't have a nice color display, and the album art may not even be an issue for the Clip. But it was an issue for the Fuse, definitely was an issue for the Fuse Plus. The SanDisk Fuse Plus is available for $79.99 for the 4GB version, $89.99 for the 8GB version, and $119.99 for the 16GB version. You can probably get cheaper prices on Amazon, but these are the list prices on the SanDisk website. I do not give a wholehearted recommendation for the SanDisk Fuse Plus. If you can get a Fuse Clip, I'd go with that. Or maybe check out one of the Cowan devices. The touch controls are just too fiddly for me, and I just hope they can fix some of that with the future firmware release. This has been the SanDisk Fuse Plus review for the Linux Link Tech Show, and let us know what you think. I want to thank you for listening, and on with the rest of the show.
Can we talk about multi-processing?
Can we talk about Beowulf clusters?
Can we talk about Web 2.0?
Just talk geek to me.
Just talk geek to me.
Hey, it's Steve Geek. Please come check out my podcast for my take on all things geeky. You can find us at www.talkgeektome.us. That's www.talkgeektome.us. Thank you.
Just talk geek to me.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Alright, that's it. Done.
Nice.
Finally.
Fuse Plus, man. Get the fuse, not the plus.
Are you... Well, you gotta talk louder, Joel.
E280.
Sorry, I moved rooms.
Okay.
But
well, make sure you brought the microphone with you.
Haha. There, that should be better. Had to move it up closer. Yep. It's got some work they gotta do. I think it'll be okay once they get a firmware release out or two, but...
I'm not a big fan of those touch slide controls.
It's, yeah, that's a big problem.
Because you can't, you really can't operate that blind, you know, like in your pocket or something.
No, you can't. Well, I wouldn't operate it in my pocket, but I would operate it like a, you know, like hit skip or something like that. You could do that, but... Yeah, it's probably just the, like I said, little firmware update and should be okay. But what the hell is that? Wow.
The robot army.
I tell you what, though. I may have to switch up my wishes for the next my next netbook. I might have to just go with the SSD because it's been outstanding with this Terra HD. It's a nice netbook.
SSDs are cool. I mean,
they're freaking fast is what they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it would be nice if I had a actually, I'd like to build a desktop where they had the boot drive as an SSD. That way I had the best of both worlds, big storage and fast boot and fast operating system, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's too expensive to get like a terabyte worth of SSD, so...
Oh yes, what, it's over $1,000 probably.
Oh, easy.
One day,
hey,
anyway.
Gates.
Yes, sir.
You like role-playing games, right?
I used to like playing games, yes. It's been a long time.
There is an application called KQ... I think it's called KQ Live.
What is it? It's not a character builder, is it?
It's an old style RPG game like Zelda or the older Final Fantasy.
Okay. I thought you were talking about.
No,
pen and paper role playing game.
No.
Okay. No. I'm downloading Alundra. I think I'm saying that right for the PS. It's a PS1 right now.
Damn, dude.
This should be a good RPG.
Yeah.
What's that game called, Dan?
Let me.
I saw your Facebook.
On you saw game. My Facebook?
Yeah, didn't you mention that on Facebook, that game?
No.
No, oh. Must be another game.
Yeah, I do enjoy the computer RPG game.
Yeah.
Let me pull it up here. I'll get you the URL in just a second.
Okay, nope.
I should have just gone through it one at a time. Hold on. I found it off the Think Penguin website. It was under games. I just caught my eye because it was like a role-playing. It looked like a graphical front-end and NetHack, but it's not. I'm going to screen through here a second. Hold on. I just compiled it a few minutes. Well, actually, I compiled it during the show. Oh, I guess it isn't. It is in alphabetical order.
What?
There we go. It's called KQ. It's at KQ Lives.
I think KQ I played Lives. It. It's a Zelda-type game, right?
Yeah, it looks like it.
I think I played that. I think my girls play that.
It looks pretty interesting. Well, I installed it, and I'm going to check it out.
Cool.
Yeah.
There you go. Did you get your tablet yet, Dan?
No, it's supposed to come tomorrow, according to FedEx. Tracking website.
Yeah, I've played that before, Dan.
KQ Lives. FedEx shipping. Oh, man. I think it's bedtime. I gotta put the show together first.
That is, isn't it? Oh.
Yep, it's supposed to be delivered tomorrow.
What's delivered tomorrow?
I'm gonna get one, too.
My netbook.
Your tablet? Or netbook?
I'm sorry, the tablet, not the netbook. Tablet.
Is this for review or you got and this is your Android tablet you bought?
The Android tablet. That I bought.
The one that you bought.
Yeah. That. The one that I bought from Neuros. I should be here tomorrow.
Well, this one's similar to what Peter 64 bought.
I don't know.
It's not.
Something, I guess it's pretty close.
1.65 or whatever.
Yeah, Android. It's rooted 1.6. 7-inch screen.
Is that upgradable?
I believe it is, but I'll find out when I get it.
Yep. I'm supposed to get one for Gear Diary, too, to review for them. So, we'll see what happens.
Oh, all right. I'm going to stop this recording. Say goodnight, Joel.
Goodnight, Joel.
I'm doing well. You sound like you're here, but not happily here.
I'm here.
I'm
happily here. You know. It's been a long, long few days.
At work or home?
Both.
Aye, aye, aye.
Both.
How's everybody doing?
If by everybody you mean me, fine.
How's everybody else?
No, they're fine. How about you, your family?
Wow, my kids got the colds. The month after school starts, colds.
Oh, yeah. The I'm tired of school already cold.
Well, it's legitimate this time. The youngest one would have that cold every day. The oldest one loves going to school. We have a guest tonight, right?
We do. I'm hoping. I didn't hear anything back, but yeah, Chris Wade is supposed to be on tonight.
Awesome.
From Think Penguin. I'm hoping that's going to happen, you know, any second now. If not, it's going to be the Dan and Link show, you know.
Joel be here, won't he?
I don't know.
Pat's sick, Alan's sick, Dave Yates is going to be on.
Ooh. The All-Star cast.
Mm-hmm. Oy, oy, oy. Oy, Faye. Is it bedtime yet?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Gee, come on! Cat just jumped off the washing machine and tore apart my stack of magazines and computers. And my Grandstream phone. After he stuck his tongue in my food bowl. My dinner bowl.
It's because you got yummy food in there, man.
Well, he got his fill and then he left. That's all it was good for.
Mm-hmm.
Ay, 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 ay. Tomorrow is the big day.
What big day is that?
Tomorrow is the day, according to FedEx, that tablet is supposed to arrive.
Hello!
Davey H!
What's up? How you doing, Daniel?
What's up, my man?
I don't know.
Dave Sexy Yates.
Ooh, listen to the dulcet tones. Is that Pegwall?
Yeah, that's Pegwall.
Yeah.
Talk like Pegwall night. I can't do that. I'm not.
As the dulcet tones of the ever-loving Linkster.
Oh, that wasn't Pegwall.
No.
Wow, Link, you got a head cold or something?
No, I'm just really,
I'm deeper than normal
really,
tonight.
Really, really tired this week.
Working you to death?
Really tired and a little scotch later, and this is what you get.
Okay. If Link mellowed.
Where's your daughter? At school?
No, she's at some kind of church event.
Oh. She's getting drunk, isn't she? She's out getting drunk. Look, Dad, it's a church event.
Hey.
Yeah, she'll be calling sometime. In the next 30 minutes, probably. I have to go get her.
You know what you ought to do? Man up, tell your wife to get her lazy ass in that car and drive to pick your daughter up. Tell her, you ain't standing for none of this crap anymore. You're the man of the house.
Yeah, you can say that while you're packing your suitcase, too, by the way,
yeah.
Dave, right?
I like the way you talk, man, because I can't talk that way.
Say, listen, hey, woman, go pick up our daughter and make me a sandwich before you go.
Yeah, you know what geographic testicles are, don't you?
Make me a damn sandwich.
I'm sorry,
you
I forgot.
You can talk big when you're like 40 miles away from her.
There you go. Where is she right now?
She's outside. But
oh.
I get to work and I get to work and I can talk big because it's a safe distance.
It's awful dark. What's she doing outside?
She's just outside. I don't know what she's doing out there. I told her to get outside and do some work while it was still dark outside. No,
I
don't know.
I bet she did.
Yeah, she's outside.
You're hoping she's outside now.
Yeah.
Dave said, get out there and pick them damn vegetables.
Check the still.
Yeah, check the still.
Change the outhouse bucket. Do you have a septic tank?
What's that?
Do you have a septic tank, or do you actually have
sewage? I have
going
a septic
in?
Tank.
I thought so.
Is that good or bad? Do you wish you had a septic tank and don't, or what?
No, well, you know what? I probably am glad I don't.
Okay.
Cause I guess, you know... No, my kids...
The septic tank envy or something.
No, my kids use so much toilet paper that the septic tank would probably explode. Women.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to tell me anymore.
Yeah. Women and septic tanks, not a good combination. Well, especially when there's a house full of them.
Who's on this line?
Link, Dave, Dan.
Hi, Link. This is Chris.
Oh, hey, Greg. Chris. How you doing?
I said Greg. Chris. I misunderstood
Chris,
you.
Chris, yep. Chris Wade from Penguin Computers.
Penguin.
Yes.
Awesome. You sound good, too. How's he sound on your end, Dan?
He sounds fine to me.
We have to check Dan's in because Dan's the one that does all the recording over there, so.
Okay.
If you keep your yapper shut and let him talk, then I can tell better.
Okay.
Sorry, Chris.
Hey, guys.
Oh, that was Man Fry, Chris, in case you were wondering.
Okay. So it's Dan.
Sorry, having a little trouble getting on here.
Dan, Link, who else?
Dave,
Dan,
Dave
Link,
Dan.
Dan Link, there's two Dans.
Two Dans?
Yes.
Okay.
There's two Dans, a Dave, and a Link, and there'll probably be a Joel in a few minutes, too.
A Joe? Okay.
No, Joel. J-O-E-L.
Joel.
Gorkon,
okay,
we usually call him. And the rest of his family will probably be chiming in every so often during the show.
Okay.
Is that it?
Who are you? Who am I speaking with right now?
Who am I? My name is Dan.
You're Dan. Okay. Gotcha.
I'm the non-man fry Dan.
Okay.
And the other Dan can speak now.
Hello.
Okay. Gotcha.
And then Dave, say hello.
Hello. I'm the one with the southern accent.
Okay.
And of course, there's me.
Who nobody cares
and,
about.
And I have my my southern accent.
And who are you?
I'm Link.
Link. Okay.
And for your information, Chris,
you get the hang
we do
of it.
Have
we're all interchangeable anyway, so.
Yeah, we do have an IRC channel, if you are interested in that. It's at thelinuxlink.net is the server, and the IRC, the channel is Pound Tech Show. Oh man, it's about time to start the show.
It is almost, yep.
Yep.
Alternatively, Chris, if you want to get there fast and use a web browser to connect to the IRC, if you go to our website, which is tllts.org, and you click the Community News square in the lower right-hand corner.
Okay.
You can see that there is an IRC link there. Looks like two little chat boxes sort of in the middle of the page. Little yellow IRC live during the show link. You can click that. That will open up the IRC in your web browser.
Yeah, sure. Sounds good.
And that way you're on the IRC with everybody that's live on the show, not just the host, but the fine people who listen to the show every week, and they can talk to you as well and ask you questions and things like that.
Sounds like a good idea. All right, well, I'm connected.
Yes, awesome. Wait. Yeah, there you are. Okay. Are we going to wait for Joel, or should we just go? Is he going to be on today?
Do it.
The only ones that didn't hear or heard from were Alan and Pat.
Yeah, they're not going to be on.
Yep.
No.
I expect Joel to be here at some point in time, but he might be late, you know.
All right, Chris. I am going to play our introduction audio, and that should be about a minute and a half, and then we'll start the show, introduce you, and get right into it.
Okay.
All right.